Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want to say welcome to those of you that might be joining us for the very first time. Welcome home. Welcome to Crossroads Church. Yep. My name is Joseph. I would love to meet you after service. Please don't rush out. Take a moment to introduce yourself. If you notice, when you walked in today, we've got a new photo booth so that you can use for the next few weeks. You can take your family portrait there. You can make that your Christmas card this year if you want. In fact, we welcome you to do that. But it's strategic. It's there for a reason. We want you to use it as a tool to invite people to our Crossroads Christmas Eve service, what we're calling Christmas for Crossroads. So please take a picture, post it on social media over and over, and try to get as many believers or unbelievers to join you this Christmas Eve. I told our team earlier, I don't want you inviting people that go to the First Baptist down the road. They already have a church. Invite someone that doesn't have a church. Also, this week coming up is our ladies. I said our ladies. Christmas party this Thursday night. If you haven't already got your ticket, please get that today and get on the list. There's so many of them. Can't even count the number of ladies that they've got on the list. It's awesome. The last service of the year will be our New Year's Eve service. Same time, same place, same people. But I need your help. If you were touched or impacted this past year through one of our sermon series, and I know you all were, I want you to pick one of them. Contact us. And I want you to share how that series impacted you, what it did for you, how you were touched by it. And then we're going to ask you to do a video so that we can share that video at our last service of the year. So I'd love to have 10, 12 people sharing how these series have touched them throughout the year. And if you would like to share how it impacted you, but you are not a camera person, you can send that to us as well, and we can make sure we get someone to share that. We're starting a brand new 4-week sermon series today titled Through My Eyes. Everyone say, Through My Eyes. Each week through this series, we're going to take the Christmas story or the birth of Jesus and look at it through a different set of eyes. We're going to start with Mary today. Next week will be Joseph. The third week will be the shepherds. And then the final week will be Jesus himself. This series will lead us into our Christmas Eve service. Each week we'll be adding another layer of Christmas wrapping paper around the greatest gift of all. And then on December the 24th, at our Christmas Eve service, we're going to unwrap this gift for all to receive. See, our Christmas Eve service isn't for you, believer. It's for the unbeliever. We're going to gear this whole service towards them. So you bring them here. The Bible says that at just the right time, God sent his son to the earth. Everyone say, at just the right time. There was a just the right time for Jesus to come to us. And there's a just the right time for people to come to Jesus. And that just the right time is on December the 24th at our Christmas Eve service. This is their God-appointed just the right time. And this is their God-appointed, Vista-printed invitation. The Bible says that an angel delivered the invitation to Mary. The invitation to be a part of God's purpose in the world. The invitation to be a part of God's plan in this world. And the invitation bore the greatest news, church. The news that God was sending his one and only son to be born of a virgin. The news that God was giving the world the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. And you might not be an angel this morning, and you can say amen to that. But you can deliver the invitation, just as the angel Gabriel did on that blessed day. See, the invitation bears the greatest news. This isn't just an invite to a church service. This is an invitation to receive Jesus. How many of you have family members that desperately need this invitation? That need to receive Jesus this Christmas? There were hands all over the sanctuary. How about friends? Co-workers, you know that hell-raising co-worker with the potty mouth? God bless them. How about classmates, students? Homeschoolers are thinking, my brother? Neighbors? Maybe even a few strangers. Can you think of one person that might need this invitation this year? There's no greater gift to give this Christmas than an invitation to Christ. After all, it's said to be the most wonderful time of the year, right? Let's make it the most wonderful time of the year for someone with this. Invite someone to Christmas for Council Bluffs on December the 24th at 10 a.m. Pastor, it would take a total miracle to get my unbelieving spouse to church on Christmas. Or my hell-raising co-worker. But can I remind you, and you got to lean in for this. I said you got to lean in for this. Christmas is a time for miracles. And you're not in charge of the miracle. Your job is to deliver the invitation. God will perform his miracle. You do your part and God will do his. Invite someone. The title of today's sermon is Mary's Eyes. We're going to look at the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus through Mary's eyes. And I want to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the Bible says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I don't know what kind of day Mary was having on this day. I don't know what kind of week she was having. I'm not sure what kind of year it must have been for her. Just like I don't know what kind of day it is for all of you in here, other than the looks on your faces. I can tell that some of you are having a very bad day because you look angry. Some of you look very happy. It's been a good day, but for the rest of you, I can't really tell because of the blank stares on your faces. So help me out. Show me how you're feeling on the inside, really. Nobody else can see you but me. The angel showed up, and he must have thought or perceived that Mary was having not such a good day, because he said, "Greetings. You are highly favored, Mary. The Lord is with you." See, he showed up with encouragement, and I want you to know I've showed up with encouragement today. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the body of Christ. If you're here and you need encouragement, I want you to stand to your feet. Greetings. You are highly favored by God. The Lord is with you. I said, the Lord is with you. Let's pray over this sermon. Father, in the name of your Son, who you sent to be born of a virgin, who would eventually walk a road that no man would ever be able to walk. God, that he would carry the weight of the world, the sins of every person, and nail it to a cross and reclaim our future and reclaim our eternity. God, I pray that as believers that we wouldn't get so comfortable in our faith and our Christianity and forget about the world in need. God, there's so many unbelievers that I pass daily that don't know you, that have no hope, that are bound, that are addicted. And God, if I don't reach them, if I don't do my part, then who will? I'm so tired of depending on other people to reach my neighbor, my coworker, my family member. God, place that person on our hearts. Let us lose sleep every single night until we do what we can to rescue them from the pits of hell. God, let their name burn in our mind. Give us compassion for the lost. Give us a heart for the lost. Through this sermon, speak to each and every one of us. Encourage us and challenge us. Open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds right now. In your mighty name, we all say, amen, amen. You may be seated. Mary was chosen by God with a divine purpose. Just like all of you in this room today, you are chosen by God with a divine purpose. Bob, look me in the eyes. You are chosen by God with a divine purpose. Mary Lee, can you hear me? You are chosen by God with a divine purpose. Joe, this might come as a surprise, but you are chosen by God with a divine purpose. Dennis, way back in the back, you are chosen by God with a divine purpose. Those of you in the balcony today, you are chosen by God with a divine purpose. You, ma'am, I'm looking straight at you. Yes, thank you. You are chosen by God with a divine purpose. For those of you that might feel like you're forgotten, you've been left out, you've been looked over, and I'm going to go way over here because I really feel like you feel like this is speaking to everybody else, but God is speaking to you. You are chosen by God with a divine purpose. See, when everyone else walks out on you, God will never. When everyone else forgets about you, God has never forgotten you. See, he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. All of you mothers in here are chosen by God with a divine purpose, just like Mary. If you're a mom, stand to your feet. No, it's not Mother's Day, but we want to recognize you. See, you are hand-selected by God to be the mother of your child. Just like Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. You are hand-selected to be the mother of Sam, Melanie. You are hand-selected to be the mother of Stephen, Tina. You are hand-selected to be the mother of Kylie. All of you moms that have a Kylie. Because we know there's several. You were chosen by God to be Alexis's mom. But this angel makes an appearance to a teenage girl named Mary. And Mary's probably about 14 years old at this point. And I know that sounds very disturbing and confusing. But that was the culture in that day and age. Everyone was doing it. All the 14-year-olds were married and pregnant. Not by the Holy Spirit, though. But put yourself in Mary's size 6 sandals. Think about the thought process of this teenage girl. We know she's preparing to be married. She's preparing to be married to Joseph, and she might be kind of excited about Mary and Joseph. After all, it's Joseph. But if it was today, what would Mary be doing besides driving everyone crazy as Bridezilla? She would be planning her wedding. She might be practicing at a 14-year-old, calling herself Mrs. Joseph. And don't pretend you ladies didn't do that. We know you did. I know Tammy did because I walked in on her practicing. It was cute. But Mary has all these plans. She wrote them down in her journal. She has plans for the wedding, plans for the reception. This is how I want it to look. And yes, she even had plans for the honeymoon. Yay. Right, guys? The greatest part of the wedding. But how many know Mary's plans didn't look like God's plans? And our plans don't always look like God's plans, do they? In fact, I want to say to you, God's purpose might be different than your plans. Point number one, God's purpose is bigger than my plans. Come on, let's go back and think about 14-year-old Mary planning to be married to Joseph and to have another little JoJo. But God shows up and blows up her plan and says, no, you're going to have the Savior of the world. Wow. What a change of plans for little Mary. God's purpose is greater than your plans, believer. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are our plans, but God's purpose prevails. But can I add to that scripture this morning? God's purpose will prevail for your life if you walk in obedience to God's plan. Don't misinterpret the Bible. God's purpose will not prevail for your life if you walk in disobedience. See, Mary had a choice here. She could choose to receive or to reject. She could choose to walk in it or to walk away from it. See, the Holy Spirit didn't force anything on her. That would be called rape. Yeah. He's a gentleman. And it's the same for your life. God gives you a choice, and you have to determine in your heart and your mind, am I going to go with God's purpose or am I going to go with my plans? And 9 times out of 10, we go over here with our plans. God's purpose will come through my plan, my way, right? Could change direction and go towards his purpose. Mary had plans, but God had a greater purpose for her life. Mary thought she was going to have a little JoJo, but God said, no, you're going to have the baby Jesus. And out of nowhere, this angel showed up and interrupted Mary's. Just like for me, about 4 years ago, God showed up and showed me that his purpose for my life was going in a different direction than my plans. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered. Have you ever been greatly troubled by a word from God that caused you to wonder? I know I have. Joseph, I want you to move to Council Tucky. SMH, God. LOL from God. But see, sometimes God's word doesn't agree with our plans. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Another translation says Mary was confused and disturbed. You think? Yeah. She didn't understand. She was confused and disturbed. But listen to her response in verse 38. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done unto me. You know what she was really saying, church? I am the Lord's servant. Amen. Because amen means let it be so, let it be done. We need to learn to say amen. Let it be so. God, point number two, stand when you don't understand. I said stand, believer, when you don't understand. We need to learn to stand and say amen, even though we don't understand. See, Mary made a commitment to stand even though she didn't understand the circumstances. We'll never understand. Babies being born with deformities, I'll never. It's hard to understand why bad things happen to good child every day of the week, and they might have 12 or 24 unwanted children by 20 different fathers. But yet the person who desperately wants to conceive a child of their own is never able to. I don't get that. But what I've learned is trust isn't always understanding. Trust is standing when you don't understand. That's faith. And we have to determine in our heart as believers that we're going to trust and we're going to stand even when we don't understand. Mary responded to the situation in a very real way, in a way that you and I might respond to an unpleasant circumstance or an undesired, unplanned, or unprepared event of life. We don't see Mary jumping up and down saying, yay me, I'm pregnant by a Holy Ghost, guys. No. She was confused and she was disturbed. But she said, after all, I am the Lord's servant, so may it be done unto me. And I can almost feel the sting and the discomfort in her words. After all, I am the Lord's servant, so may it be done unto me. Amen. It's not what I want. It's not what I had planned. In fact, it's a huge disruption of my plans, but I am the Lord's servant, so may it be done unto me. What a humble selfless young lady. It's just like Jesus' response in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen." So we have to learn to say, "Nevertheless, God, not my will, but thine be done. Amen." We have to learn that quote. We have to become very familiar with those words. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen." Period. That was exactly what Mary was saying. The same thing that Jesus said, Mary said, "I don't want this, but not my will, but thine be done. Amen." See, sometimes, Christian, if not many times, we'll have to drop our plans to fulfill God's purpose. Many times in my life, in my ministry, in my walk, I've had to drop my plans to fulfill God's purpose. And I had to say, "Nevertheless, God, I don't want this, but your will be done. Amen." Looking at the birth of Jesus, we might only think of the advantages of being the mother of Jesus, but we can't ignore the disadvantages. Just because she was pregnant through a miracle doesn't mean she didn't experience the regular symptoms that every other pregnant woman experiences. Every ache, every craving, every cramp, every sore muscle, not to mention every mood swing. Every morning sickness, every midnight craving, every sleepless night was probably a reminder of the incredible task that she was assigned. After all, Taco Bell wasn't open till midnight back then. I think it closed at like 9 o'clock. But think about this, and I promise you, you've never thought of this before. Jesus made Mary sick. Jesus gave Mary morning sickness. Jesus made Mary gain weight. Mary's the only one that can blame weight gain on Jesus and get away with it. In fact, he probably gave her a few stretch marks. And I don't know about you guys, but if my wife was in Mary's sandals, I don't think she would have responded so politely to the angel. Verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Mary must have been thinking, "Does he know something that I don't know? What? How? Joseph, get in here. What did you do?" But just like Mary, for all of us, this would be incredibly inconvenient. This wasn't what she had planned. This isn't what she wrote out in her journal. This isn't how she wanted to be married. She wanted to fit into her dress, not blow it up. And how many know you don't mess with a lady's wedding plans? Jesus didn't get that memo. Jesus totally crashed this woman's wedding. And in this moment, Mary could have chosen to have a bridezilla meltdown because her plans were totally interrupted by the Son of Jesus, or the Son of God. How many can relate? How many have had your plans interrupted by God? See, God will always, 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 always disrupt your plans to fulfill his purpose. And one of you agreed with that. God's not always concerned with your plans, but he's always concerned with his purpose and his plans. I said, God will always disrupt your plans to fulfill his purpose. But what we see as an interruption, God uses as an invitation. Those times in our life where we feel like God is interrupting our plans. He's actually inviting us to something greater. And in order to fulfill the greater, we have to let go of the lesser. And I don't know how this will play out for your life, but if you'll be sensitive enough to see what we call an interruption as a possible invitation, God might take you somewhere greater, somewhere better, somewhere higher. Because His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And thank God, because His ways is so much better than my way. His thoughts are so much better than my thoughts, because I have some crazy thoughts at times, just trying to be real. His ways are higher. 4 years ago, I was youth pastor in South Texas, and I planned on retiring at this church. I loved it. Not as the youth pastor, but eventually to become the senior pastor, because that was the set plan. I loved the community. I loved the weather. I loved the people. I loved the ocean. I loved Schlitterbahn. I loved SeaWorld. I loved all the Mexican restaurants. I loved it. But that's when God showed up, not as an interruption, but with an invitation. With an invitation to be a part of His purpose, with an invitation to be a part of His plan, with an invitation to Crossroads Church, with an invitation to Council Tucky. See, God showed up with an invitation, not as an interruption, but to be a part of something that's bigger and greater, that would ultimately impact this city. Amen. See, God showed up with an invitation. That was weak. To be a part of a church that will ultimately bring change to an entire city, an area. See, Crossroads isn't just a church in this city. Crossroads is a church for this city. And God showed up with that invitation and just put it right in my hands. And at first I just said, no way, God. But thank God, His ways are higher than our ways. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55:9 says that. You may have lost your job in the past and you thought this was the worst, absolute worst thing in the world. How am I going to pay my bills? Your mind in that moment might have been totally consumed with all these questions, just like Mary. How, God? Why me, God? What am I going to do, God? And you can choose in that moment to have a total meltdown, or you can choose to stand up and to look up like Mary and say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done unto me. Amen. And see, when the time is right, I said, when the time is right, at just the right time, God sent His Son to the earth to be born of a virgin. When the time is right, and that might be at the very last moment. There's some of you here today that feel like you're at the very last moment. You feel like you're hanging by a thread. You feel like you can't go another step. You feel like you want to let go. And when you're down to nothing, you've heard the quote, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. But when the time is right, God will open that door to fulfill His purpose, a door that you thought could never be opened for you, a door that is bigger, that is better, that is larger, that is greater than the door that just slammed in your face, because His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are always higher than your thoughts. And only God can make the way, really. So quit trying to force a door that God doesn't want you to go in. I don't know who that's for, but that wasn't in my notes. You can take that. So that means His door must be bigger and better than your door. Amen. And what you thought was a curse was actually a blessing. And what you thought was an interruption was actually an invitation to something greater, something better, something higher. Verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary said, how? And she could have very easily allowed her question to overcome her purpose in this moment. She could have chosen to sit on her purpose, as so many believers do, instead of stand in her purpose. She could have chosen to have a teenage girl meltdown right here. And we know you teenagers, girls, don't do that, do you? Or better yet, she could have had an extreme teenage hormonal pregnancy meltdown. Right, ladies? And she could have called up all of her friends, and they could have gathered around in a great big circle and buried their faces in a big bowl of chocolate ice cream, as y'all do, with a side of pickles. And they could have told her all the reasons of why she shouldn't and couldn't fulfill God's purpose for her life. But here's what I want you to get. If Mary would have rejected the invitation, she would have aborted God's purpose. Come on, hear what I'm saying. If Mary would have rejected the invitation, she would have aborted the baby Jesus. She would have aborted my salvation and your salvation. See, this is where many believers, many well-meaning believers, reject the invitation and abort God's purpose for their lives. Because they can't answer the why or the how. Because they don't understand, and because it's uncomfortable, because they don't, that's not their personality, because they don't want to serve. They just want to come to church instead of be the church. Come on, am I talking to anyone? This is where many believers reject the invitation and abort God's purpose, because they choose not to walk in His purpose. But Mary didn't choose to walk away from it. She chose to walk in it. Mary didn't choose to sit on it. She chose to stand in it. Mary didn't choose to reject it. She chose to receive it and said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done unto me. See, some of us need to learn that. I am the Lord's servant. Amen. Instead of, no, pastor, I don't want to serve in that area. That would be uncomfortable. For that. Everyone write down, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done. Amen. The next time I approach you, just say, I am the Lord's servant. Amen. I'll see every one of you at the service. See, in this moment is where faith is revealed. It's where our trust is revealed. Mary chose to walk in God's purpose instead of walk away from it, even though she had questions. I want you to know it's okay to have questions. Just don't allow your questions to overcome your purpose. I said, it's okay to have questions, but don't allow your questions to overcome your purpose. And by the way, that's point number three. Mary must have looked down and put her little hand over her tummy and thought, I'm pregnant? Question mark? I'm not sure what to think. I'm torn. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? To others, this is going to be a bad thing, and I might be called things that I shouldn't be called. But if this is of God, it must be a good thing, right? Come on, Holy Spirit, help me out. Is this good or is this bad? Remember, she's a teenager. She's scared. She's alone. She's pregnant. And she's assigned a huge, huge, huge mission from God. To say she was overwhelmed couldn't even begin to describe how she must have felt in this moment. Tammy and I were planning and trying to get pregnant for almost a year before we got pregnant. And at that time, we were a part of a mega church in Seoul, Korea. And our church had over 500 pastors on staff. And the senior pastor came up to us one day and he put his hand on Tammy's tummy and said, "You're with child." Just like that, "You're with child." And we too were kind of shocked, nothing compared to Mary. A few weeks later, we confirmed it with a home test, and I'll never forget it. Such a memorable moment to stand around, me and her gather around a little pea stick. With one very distinct line and then one that's kind of there and kind of not there. But we were convinced and we celebrated. See, Mary didn't have a pea stick confirmation. She had an angel drop in with the news. Our family and our friends were ecstatic with our news. But Mary's family and friends probably rebuked her, questioned her integrity and purity as a young lady. Pregnancy drew Tammy and I closer, but pregnancy could have very well torn Mary and Joseph apart. Mary said, "How will this be?" Mary's like, "I'm a virgin. And I don't know if you know it or not, angel of the Lord, but virgins can't have babies. It's totally and completely impossible. There'll be a time where you stand before a situation that seems totally and completely impossible. Maybe you're standing before that situation today. There seems to be no way. There's no way my marriage could ever be restored, Pastor. There's no way my body could ever be healed, Joel. There's no way that I could ever forgive that one person that hurt me so deeply. How many of you are asking how this morning? The angel said, "Through the power of the Most High." And I want to say to the church today, through the power of the Most High, your marriage will be restored. Through the power of the Most High, your body will be healed, Joel. Through the power of the Most High, you can forgive that person that hurt you so deeply that don't deserve your forgiveness. Through the power of the Most High, that door will be opened for you. Through the power of the Most High, it will be done, Mary. Point number four, and I want to close. My purpose is bigger than me. Everyone say, "My purpose is bigger than me." See, Mary's purpose was bigger than her. Her purpose was bigger than her ability. Her purpose was bigger than her talents. Her purpose was bigger than her past. Her purpose was bigger than her giftings. Her purpose was bigger than her platform. Her purpose was bigger than her resources. And as a church, our purpose is bigger than our resources. Our church is bigger than our platform. Our church is bigger than Council Bluffs. Our purpose is so much bigger than this city. See, when God's in it, our purpose is bigger than what we can even imagine or dream. See, God doesn't just want us to be another church in Council Bluffs. He wants us to be a church for Council Bluffs, for Glenwood, for Carter Lake, for Omaha, for all the surrounding cities. God wants us to be a church for the lost, for the broken, for the addicted, for the hopeless, for the homeless, for those who are bound and addicted by drugs and alcohol, those who are bound to pornography. God wants us to be a church for the people. Not just a church for us people. And I know that makes some of you Christians uncomfortable. But through the Holy Spirit, I say, so what? Because God is not concerned with your comfortability. He's concerned with the lost and reaching and impacting them. Mary's purpose was bigger than her. And I want to say to each and every one of you this morning, your purpose is bigger than you. But I wonder how many of you will receive that this morning. Will you receive that? Will you receive that, really? Amen. Yes. This is where many people get confused and disturbed, like Mary. This is where many of us miss the mark, but don't be confused. Your purpose isn't to perform the miracle. Your purpose is to receive the miracle. See, Mary didn't perform the miracle. She just received it. Mary said, how? Because in that moment, she was thinking, how in the world am I ever going to do this on my own? And the angel said, you can't. But with God, you can. You can. Mary was impregnated through a miracle. How many of you would say, I want to be a part of a miracle this morning? If that's you, just stand to your feet. But see, here's what we have to understand. How many of you would say that giving birth is a total miracle? But understand this, the whole process of pregnancy is a total miracle. Conception is a miracle. Growing a baby in your womb is a miracle. Holding that baby in your womb for 9 long months while you're doing everything else that you do is a total miracle. Surviving labor is a miracle. Surviving those hormonal pregnancy mood swings, guys, is a total miracle, right? Being able to finally hold that baby boy or baby girl in your arms for the very first time and look them in the eyes is a miracle. The whole process is a miracle. But see, giving birth to a miracle runs the same course. There's a point of conception. There's a waiting period in the womb, and that might be 9 months or 9 long years. In this stage, you can get stretch marks or wrinkles. But through the waiting and after the waiting, there comes the labor. See, we want the miracle without the labor. But God says there can be no miracle without the labor. And through the labor, we finally give birth to the miracle. But imagine the moment, the long-awaited moment, Mary is able to give birth to the Savior of the world and hold the baby Jesus. Depending on the difficulty of the season. We can be overwhelmed. We can be ready to give up. But if we'll hold on and allow God's purpose to be birthed through our lives, if we'll allow the miracle to be birthed through us, after we hold it in our hands, after we get that first glimpse of the miracle that God and only God could perform. It's nothing that I could do. It wasn't my talents. It wasn't my gifts. It wasn't my resources. But through God, we were able to birth the miracle, the first sight of it. We might not totally forget the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We might not forget the 9 months in the womb. We might not forget the 9 year miracle and the tribulations and the lack of resources and the lack of people showing up faithfully. We're going to look back at the empty pews and it might not be totally forgotten, but it's going to be weakened by the explosion of the church and the lost and the bound and the addicted coming to Jesus off the streets, filling this place up with life change, growing. Through her pain, Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus. And I guess what I'm trying to say is through your pain, God will give birth to the miracle. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question. What is it that God wants to birth through you? What is it that God wants to impart? What is it that God wants to impregnate inside of you? What is it that God wants to do in you and through you? Father, I pray right now that you would speak to every heart, every person in this place. I pray that you would speak in a way that we would hear, God. And God, if it's a word that says just wait a little longer, I pray that that would be received. God, if it's a word that says I'm calling you out to a higher level, I pray that that would be received. God, if it's a door that's open, whether a new job, a new ministry, a new direction, I pray that we would have the faith to step in. Right now, personally ask God, what is it that you want to birth inside of me?